What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 6th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I hope you guys are okay with me not doing the podcast over the weekend. It's just one of those things that I needed a little bit more of a break. And I know with the SP Fab forecast, I got some feedback after putting it out yesterday. I'm going to do everything I can to put it out as early as possible on Fridays. So essentially, I record this Plus Pitch Podcast on Friday. I'm going to add it to the end of the period that I record. So if you want to get a little preview of the SP Fab forecast every Friday, if you want to understand what is this thing that I would be getting PL Pro for, you should check out the Friday streams, because I'll be sharing, I'll be putting out the process of the SP Fab forecast on that stream. But anyway, we got to talk about Daniel Lynch this fourth, because he went 5 innings of 0 runs yesterday in 6 Ks. Oh my gosh. Just 7 whiffs and 20% CSW. I watched all of it. Yeah, he needed, I believe he had a 34 pitch inning, and then he had the bases loaded and the first got out of it. His best attribute is a four seamer that has 16 inches of vert, but everything else on it is pretty mediocre. And even that is like slightly above average. Like I see 17 and I'm like, okay, cool. 16 is like, okay, you need to have other things, and he doesn't have that. There is a slider here that's like, look, I see Daniel Lynch and I see a very much worse Cole Reagans. It's much less velocity. It's a slider that's trying to go down and inside to righties. He got 4 whiffs on it, but not enough strikes overall. He's also willing to do that against righties and lefties, that slider, Daniel Lynch. And that's great. And I saw moments before in his past where he was able to do that, but it's just, that's really it. The curveball isn't consistent enough. The changeup sometimes is there, and the changeup had to do a lot of the work in this one. He got a ton of strikes, but it was just kind of like, here you go. I don't really think that this is something for you to lean into. I know it was against the Rangers, and it's pretty surprising, but I was not impressed here by Daniel Lynch. Dean Kramer against the Reds. That's 3 straight starts for success of Dean Kramer. As if you guys don't know, by the way, the roundup is in order of earned runs allowed. Sometimes it's a little bit weird where I write the thing, and then there's an extra earned run or so added. But it's always in order of earned runs. So Dean Kramer, 6 innings of 0 runs. 1 hit, 1 walk in 6 Ks. And if you remember 2 starts ago, he had 17 whiffs on 4 seamers and cutters. Well, that returned again, 11 whiffs on 65 between the two. However, the splitter wasn't really there. And do I believe now that Dean Kramer is like this guy? I mean, it's a winning ball club. All right, let's take a chance against the Snacks. That is the Arizona Diamondbacks. And we'll see what happens. Javier Saad had a good start against the Brewers. It's a Vargas rule because it was 4 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. But whatever. We just keep going. It's the Pirates, and we go with that. James Paxton against Atlanta. 6.2 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. 17% CSW in 6.2 innings against Atlanta. Atlanta, by the way, across like the last 2 weeks or so, bottom 5 in WRC plus as an offense. Kind of weird. We updated our offensive rankings on the stream today, as I do every morning on, every Monday morning, and just be like, cool, where are the offenses that are good or bad? And Atlanta, I was tempted to put him into the second tier, but like, no, that's gotta be better, right? Acuna's gonna wake up, Riley's gonna wake up, Olsen's gonna wake up. Like, there's no way that they're this bad. So I'm glad that Paxton was able to make this work. 17% CSW once again. I really feel as if he's going, it's all downward trend right now. 3 whiffs on 34 swings, not thrown. They swung 34 times at fastballs and hit 31 of them. Sure, some were foul, but that's not good for Paxton at 93 miles per hour. I would not risk this against the Padres for James Paxton. Carlos Carrasco, look at this. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Not really the most impressive line, but it's great for Carlos Carrasco. It was against the Angels, fine. Blame it on the Angels, sure. Got the win. But here's the cool thing. He was 90-91 on his fastball this year. I'm like, yeah, this is a guy who's just on his way out. Except he went to 92.7. Like, he averaged 93 on his heater. What? And he also went 2 to 3 ticks higher on everything. Look at him. All right. 17% swing strike rate on all his secondaries. Hey, okay, Carrasco. That's pretty cool. White Sox next. That's maybe something you want to consider now. Just throwing it out there. Maybe Carlos Carrasco is kind of decent now. Huge props to him to find that velocity. And we have seen a jump like that before, and it's not sustained, right? It's like he just felt good that day, but maybe there was a tweak. I mean, that's actually like 2 to 3 is not just like, whatever, I woke up on the right side of the bed today. You know, why were we going out on the left before? I don't know. But seriously, that's, I'm going to consider that. Only 71 pitches. They were like, you know what, let's just call it a day here. So maybe like he's always, I didn't know before, maybe he's always the last 10, 15 pitches are like 88 or something. Nah, that's pretty cool. Garrett Crochet against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just looking so bad. So 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. And what's most interesting here, if you remember last start for Garrett Crochet, he threw 18 changeups out of nowhere. And that's how he nullified the right-handed focused Twins lineup, right? He did poorly against them, said, you know what, I'm going to throw changeups next time. He adapted, and he had a great start. So I thought, okay, Cardinals are going to throw a lot of right-handers against you. Changeup, right? Nope. I think he threw 5 of them. Maybe it was 3 changeups. And actually, his slider, 8 for 18 strikes. So this was just fastball cutter domination against a bad offense. So I am a little worried against the Guardians next. Like, Garrett, you figured out this changeup. You had a 4-pitch mix. This is what you do against right-handers, and this is what you're going to do against left-handers. And the fact that the slider wasn't even there, too. What? What a weird, weird season. Cooper Criswell against the Twins, 4.1 innings and 80 pitches. And the thing is that they dominated the Twins overall in this game, and he only went 4.1 innings and didn't get the win. He's going Cannibal McSanchez, and if you don't know what that is, it's popularized by Animal Sanchez and Colin McHugh. So I call it Cannibal McSanchez. This is where you throw high cutters in hopes of called strikes coming back into the zone, and then you throw low sinkers and changeups and sweepers, which actually is kind of cool, honestly. You don't really see it too often. It means that they can't just keyhole into one location. But he does get the Nationals next, and like if he's doing that, he's up to 80 pitches. Like, okay. Just let him go 5, please. Thanks a lot, Red Sox. Matthew Liberatore went opposite of Garrett Crochet for the Cardinals. 3.2 innings of 1 run, 50 pitches. Just don't touch this. I'm glad to see that the slider and cutter are effective, but very highly suspect, like very suspect command. Like so much in the zone and all this stuff, and I'm not going to go for this. John Gray against the Royals. 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks, and 17 whiffs, and 7-7-7 is a lucky number for John Gray. 13 over 35 slider whiffs. That's awesome. He kind of breaks the Wascarino Noah rule to me. And what that means is you can't really believe in a guy who just has a slider and nothing else. And also made the best joke I think I have made all year in the SP Roundup for John Gray's Roundup blurb. So you should read that. Just for that wonderful Jody Foster joke. he's a cherry bomb still. Just understand that. You take a risk every single time you're starting John Gray. We have everybody else, of course, to talk about. Nestor Cortez, Tarik Skubal, Griffin Canning, Hunter Brown, and so many others. And, of course, today and tomorrow's starters. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Nestor Cortez had a 48% sweeper. CSW sweeper, 48%. Well-placed cutters, good fastballs. Great, did great against the Tigers. We're good there. Opposite that was Tarik Skubal with a golden goal. We're all good there. It's kind of weird to see the four-seamer not be earning all of the whiffs. 93.7, though, not like 95. So we're all good there. The changeup was just amazing. And you actually had to go lower on it than usual. It was great sinkers doing the called strike stuff. It's just kind of funny with the four-seamer just not being the pitch it was last year, which was my analysis about Skubal. It was like, you are not going to perform this well with your four-seamer. And he didn't, but he's adapted. That's pretty cool. It still feels like it's a little bit of a sell high, but I wouldn't do that if I had Tarik Skubal. I just want to make sure that's clear. Griffin Canning against the Guardians, 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. And I really want to mention this about Canning. I'm impressed that he is not allowing his four seamer to leak over the middle of the plate. And he was able to go around the edges with everything here. Changeups did a lot of work here. Same with the curveball. Sliders got 10 whiffs and not one was in play. Sure, it was about a 51% strike rate. But not one of them in play, which is pretty cool. I think it was 17 over 32 strikes, 10 whiffs. That's awesome. This is the way that Griffin Canning is supposed to go. It's kind of a neckbeard approach of just going around the zone and not getting anything. No mustache, no real beard, right? It's just all underneath and on top of your head. and those sideburns. So cut those off maddeningly. Hunter Brown against the Mariners. We're still lost, guys. It's general disarray. And we're not in a good place there with Hunter Brown. It's just all scattered all over the place. I'm not going for this. Sixto Sanchez won 65 pitches, so we're not interested there. And he's throwing a cutter at 83, which is not... Why is it a cutter? It's supposed to be a slider, 93 mile per hour four-seamer. We can't trust Sixto Sanchez. Mackenzie Gore's skills are great. The four-seamer is still so good. When it comes to the Fantastic Four, as I call it, the four elements of a fastball that makes it earn whiffs, he's elite on all of them. He had good locations on it yesterday. And finally, he's getting near the end of this horrible schedule he's had. He had four more unearned runs here with a Vladdy Grand Slam. And by the way, there were two innings in that inning. Gore had one of them. I always question it, like, should it be an unearned run if the pitcher is the one who does it? Yeah, it should be. but Mackenzie Gore is a guy that I see long-term playing out really, really well. Joe Ryan against the Red Sox, six innings of 300 runs. And it's really annoying because he had a two-run shot. And there was also a double out double that allowed the third run. And it's like four hits in five and one walk in 5Ks. Like, ugh, it should have been like a six-inning, one-earned run game or something like that, you know? But whatever. Bailey Falter, 5.1 innings of 300 runs. Six hits, two walks, three Ks. He was my stream pick, and just none of this is good. Womp womp. You move on from Billy Fulton. He'll be traded by August to the Rays. I'm telling you, probably not. Freddy Peralta against the Cubs. Did much better with intent. Like, the last two starts from Freddy Peralta have come with really weird command on his four seamer. And this one actually was like, no, I'm going to go upstairs, which is great, but it was just a little too upstairs. And he had velocity drop on his secondaries, one into velocity, ticks of velocity down. But I'm not worried about that. This is a better version of Freddy Peralta than the last two starts. So if you're getting weird about this, or you actually feel like you can buy low, I would be in on Freddy Peralta here. He's going to take a little bit of a hit in the list. Of course, six walks, you can't be doing that, but still, I'm still in that top tier for Freddy Peralta. Ryan Pepiot took a comebacker to the leg, and it's really annoying. It's like 107 miles per hour, that comebacker. So I don't expect him to make his next start against the Yankees, but it stinks. It's unfortunate. He wasn't pitching well, by the way. He was not looking good. I know 32% CSW. Those 4-4 pitches, they were so poorly commanded against the Mets. Taiwan Walker surprised me against the Giants with a win. 6.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. We'll take a poor quality start. It's pretty much what this is, with 7 Ks. And it was still 90-91 on the heater. 6 whiffs for 7 Ks. He does get the Marlins next, so I think you're fine for a win there, but like, I don't want to lean on Taiwan Walker at all. Logan Webb was on the other side of that Sunday night baseball game. And it was 4 innings of 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. The Phillies were more patient against the changeup, which meant it had to be more in the zone. They didn't go chasing it, which meant that it wasn't an efficient start for Webb, and that he wasn't able to skirt through 6 innings or so. A lot of batters just give up, you just chase the changeup, and then it turns outs. In this one, Bryce Harper had a 3-run shot on a changeup looking for it, and it was a little bit more in the zone, and bam. There's your ball game. Don't worry about this for Logan Webb. Max Fried against the Dodgers allowed 2 home runs. Each of them two run shots. One was Otani, one was Teoscar Hernandez. And that's really frustrating because honestly, it was 7 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. Like, that's a really good start against the Dodgers, and it's just 2 home runs. And ugh, the velocity is there at 95. The changeup is coming back as well. Like, we're good here. I'm so in on Max Fried moving forward. Bryce Miller against the Astros, 6 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. A little bit of a careful Icarus here. And just 1 out of 21 whiffs on his secondaries. Not fun to see, but you know, so it goes. It's just, you keep going on with Bryce Miller. He's throwing a good enough four-seamer as a tougher matchup. Hopefully those whiffs work out. Nick Lodolo against the Orioles. Yep, they're good against lefties. Didn't go well, but say, hey, it's 39% CSW, 9 over 28 whiffs on the curveball, and that's cool. Good strike rate on the changeup. You know, just to get lower on that changeup and don't face the Orioles in Sin City, okay? Ryan Nelson returned and got a win, which is nice. 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks, and he went 99 pitches. So Ryan Nelson, that's cool. He didn't get a good start here outside of the win. And his four-seamer is looking great as far as all the pitch shape and everything goes. So I think that he just needs to have just some better secondaries when the cutter is there and when he's not facing the Orioles next. But yeah, he's certainly going to be someone, especially for your NL-only leagues, I think you're going to want to target. You have Luis Severino against the Rays, 5 innings of 4 runs. He threw 29% sweepers. And if you've listened to The Craft with me and Ian Osaris, you've heard us talk about like the molds of Yankee pitchers being like the Clark Schmidt, Will Warren types, Michael King, who are these sinker-sweeper guys. And then you have like the Luis Gil and Luis Severino four-seamer gyro slider types. And it's so funny to see him throw 29% sweepers now. I'm like, I texted Eno right after this. Like, this is hilarious. I don't think that's it. I really don't think so. He only threw five cutters though, so what the heck. He gets he gets Atlanta next, so we're not doing that, so whatever. And then Joe Boyle, three walks in an inning, 35 pitches, and he was pulled after that. And all I think about, I posted an image of the Joker being like, with all of your strength, you can do nothing. Because, yeah, Joe Boyle, like, you have amazing stuff, you just can't locate any of it. Stop believing in Joe Boyle. Ryan Feltner, I think I did the SB Fab forecast, and I saw that he was still rostered in about, like, 50% of leagues. What? Ryan Feltner at Pittsburgh, that was in 15 teamers. 5.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits. Yeah, okay. Don't go after Feltner, guys. Cool. Alek Manoah against the Nationals. 4 innings and 6 earned runs and 4 walks. Because if you listen to me about the... I'm taking a victory lap. I feel weird. But the skills that we saw from AAA that had that really good start, yeah, he got away with a lot of things. We're like, this won't last. And it didn't last. And Matt Waldron, don't trust a knuckleballer ever. Okay, looking forward to tomorrow's games. Are there any updates today? Yes, make sure that Jack Flaherty's in your lineup because him and Maeda swapped so that Maeda can get the Marlins next and Flaherty can get the Astros. You're wondering about Mason Black. You do not need to pick him up for today. I don't think this is going to be a good start against the Phillies. He is a four-seamer sinker guy, 92-mile-per-hour four-seamer. It looks like it's a lower arm angle. I do not have the attack angle, but I imagine it's going to be above average. It's going to be like a 1-2 is my guess from just from watching video. Could be better than that. I don't know the amazing IVB marks, but I don't think it is. I think it's more lateral movement than it is vert on Mason Black's four-seamer, and he's a sweeper guy. So that doesn't really speak highly in my view because you need to have a changeup against lefties. He needs to get that or a cutter. Maybe he can learn Logan Webb's now that he's up here, but it's four-seamer, sinker, sweeper against the Phillies tonight. I don't want that. Maybe when he hosts the Reds in San Francisco, Mason Black will be worthwhile. But I am not a fan of getting him now. I don't feel like he's the next big guy you need to get with his arsenal. There's also Rodery Munoz instead of Braxton Garrett. And that's against the Dodgers, and you don't want to touch that whatsoever. He is the bottom of that tier. Do not start. Tomorrow starters, you have Corbin Burnes, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shoto Imanaga, Zach Gallen, Bailey Ober, and Zach Eflin. Obviously, those are auto starts. I also put Seth Lugo in there. Because he's been so good lately, and it's the Brewers, who are not terrifying. I know if you have Seth Lugo, you're going to auto-start him. So, watch this be the start. He does poorly because I put him there. I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. Probable start, too. You have Reynaldo Lopez against Boston. It's not in Fenway, so that's cool. You have Justin Verlander against the Yankees. I just feel like he's a stable, like, Chris Bassett type. Holly. Jose Berríos, you would say so, too. It's against the Phillies, who I'm a little more scared about right now. And Berríos had signs of degradation last start that I think I'm like, uh-oh, I think it's going to fall off now. So I'm a little worried there. There's Christopher Sanchez on the other side of it. I feel like his changeup should be better than it is and has been, and he'll be fine. Jose Buto and Logan Allen are your two streaming options. I'm going with Jose Buto at St. Louis because they are really bad right now, and Jose Buto has just been a Toby. While you have Logan Allen versus Detroit, and he's doing the Blake Snell blueprint pretty effectively, so I think that can be a good start, but I do prefer Jose Buto as the probable start streamer of the day. Questionable start, you have Cutter Crawford at the top of it against Atlanta. Atlanta's been a little bit worse, so I'm a little more confident than I felt like I was going to be entering this for Cutter Crawford, but I'd still be cautious about this one. Cal Harrison at Colorado, Jack Leiter at Oakland. Leiter didn't do well against the Tigers in his debut, and he needs to be a little bit more precise, but it is a really fun fastball, and I really am looking forward to that one. Also, Oakland has been doing well, so I'm curious how that one's going to play out. You have Luis Gil as a cherry bomb against the Astros, because if he throws enough strikes and has that four-seamer cooking, like that can be very good despite being the Astros. Patrick Sandoval has best start of the year and now gets Pittsburgh, so maybe that does work. Eric Cabrera is opponent agnostic a bit, even though it's against the Dodgers. If Eric Cabrera throws enough strikes and has that slider working, like this is going to be a good start regardless. So it's a matter of will he have it or not? Probably not. But that's why you don't want to do it. But anyway, also a cherry bomb is Kenta Maeda without as much of a ceiling against the Guardians. Colin Ray, Frankie Montes, and Quinn Priester are your like 5-inning to 6-inning options for desperate wins. Quinn Priester against the Angels. The Angels aren't very good. That could work. But he had his curveball and slider working well. Like Colin Ray has been decent, and so has Frankie Montes. In the do not start tier, maybe you want to put for Emerson Hancock in that group too, but the Twins have been very good, and Emerson Hancock doesn't really have that amazing stuff. Miles Michaelis, he doesn't go the extra mile despite his S in his name. Ha ha ha. He gets the Mets. I don't care. Dakota Hudson against the Giants in cores. No thank you. Michael Soroka, Ross Stripling, Randy Vasquez, and never Trevor Williams. Round it out. Stripling gets the Rangers, so absolutely not. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for leaving a rating review on this podcast. Really, I cannot emphasize that enough. It goes a long way for us. It just helps out Pitcherless and helps us become the site that we want to be, which is the leaders of the baseball media market. And if you want to help us get there, It's little things like that that go so far for us. So thank you all so much for leaving a rating, a review on the Plus Pitch Podcast direct feed. That is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.